Overhead Door Company, the original garage door company, serving you for over 90 years. Call 843-767-0028 or overheaddoorco.com. Overhead Door Company of Charleston, proud to open hour two of the Morrow Midday Show. Morrow Midday Show.
But wait, there's more.
On ESPN Radio.
Guess who's back, 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 back again. Sadie's back, back, back. Tell a friend, friend, friend. Guess who's back, 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 guess who's back.
Second hour of the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Coming up, we'll run through the rivalry games of this weekend and rank them in terms of level of importance or intrigue. But of course, around here we know it's about the Palmetto Bowl. South Carolina and Clemson tomorrow night, with South Carolina trying to get their first win against the Tigers in a number of years, and Gamecock fans probably feeling the best about this opportunity in quite some time as well. About an hour from now, we'll catch up with Levon Kirkland from the Clemson side of things. But joining us now is a former Gamecock quarterback who played in this matchup. Perry Orth, who's on Twitter at PerryOrth10, is now the head quarterback coach of QB1 Athletics. And he's with us now. Perry, good afternoon. How are you?
Good, brother. How are you?
Doing well. Appreciate the time as we get ready, of course, for the big game tomorrow. You've played in this game. In fact, back in 2015, that's the closest game we've had during this losing streak. That was the last one possession game. You had three touchdowns. Just take us into what it's like as a player in this. How is this game, from a player perspective, how is this different compared to all of the other games in the season for somebody on South Carolina?
Yeah, the difference, really is in the pregame and everything leading up to the game. It's not the playing of the game itself. It's more of, this game means a lot to the people in South Carolina, and they make it known that way. And it's a great game. It's a great rivalry. And we definitely need to get back on the winning side of things. But Clemson's had their run in the sun, and hopefully that's coming to an end. And now we got to get back on the right track.
Yeah, and there's plenty of reasons to feel more optimistic about this game than the last few for South Carolina. So where are you in this game in particular? South Carolina, obviously coming off that sixth win, they're going to a bowl. They've won two out of three. Clemson's won four in a row on their side. How do you believe, from what we've seen this year, this South Carolina team right now matches up to this Clemson team tomorrow?
Yeah, I think the big difference for South Carolina and advantage is our defensive line versus their offensive line. We're going to be able to get after the passer, and DJ has shown that when he has pressure, he does not play very well. We're going to have to, first and foremost, we've got to take away the run, force DJ into obvious passing down. If we do that, we're going to have a chance. And then offensively, we've got to find a way to manufacture points. I don't care if it's trick plays or it's taking shots when they're there or special teams. We were looking at the schedule yesterday. We got to find a way to get to 28 points. If we get to 28, I think we'll win the ball game.
Yeah, so having to get to 28 against Clemson, this defense is number six in the country. So what does South Carolina need to do offensively to be able to try to get to that 28 and have success against this Clemson defense tomorrow?
Yeah, the first and foremost, they're going to have to run the football well. If they don't run it well, it's going to be a long night for South Carolina. But if they do, and they have the last couple weeks, to kill the clock, eat up the time of possession, we're going to need to get a touchdown or some major field position wins on defense and special teams. But then ultimately we're going to need to take shots when they're there. We're going to have some good big chunk plays to limit the amount of drives that we have. You know, you don't want to major in having 10 to 15 play drives. What you want to do is you want to take big plays when they're there to be able to lessen the opportunity the defense has to put you in bad situations. So we've got to come out. We've got to strike. We got to strike early, and we've got to hit the big plays when they're there.
Talking with Perry Orth, who played for the Gamecocks now coaches up the quarterback position and knows that position as well as anybody. When you look at South Carolina, of course, it's Jason Brown tomorrow. We've seen three different quarterbacks this year for South Carolina, though. Has Jason Brown been the most impressive for you based off of what we've seen this year from the three different quarterbacks for South Carolina?
Yeah, he has. I think all three of them do different things really well. It's a shame that Luke was never 100%. So we have yet to see the player that he's truly capable of being. But Jason Brown is ultra-athletic, makes great plays on the run. He makes plays when the play breaks down. Zeb obviously is fantastic in the pocket, but you know the offensive line had a difficult time protecting when he was in there, and you got to have somebody with a little bit more mobility, and Jason brings that to the table, and so he's done really well since his number has been called, and they haven't put a ton on him. They've kept his attempts reasonable, and if they do that again and he's efficient, again, we'll have a chance, but I really do believe it comes down to the running game and then getting chunk plays when they're when the deep balls are thrown. We've got to connect.
Brown will take the field tomorrow. It's going to be a wild atmosphere, I'm sure. His first time playing in this type of game. Like you said, you know, he needs to play well, take advantage of those opportunities. Going back to 6 years ago at this point, what was it like for you when the game kicked off and you went out there in what I'm sure was also a wild environment to play in front of against Clemson? You know, for 99.9% of us, we're never in that moment. What was it like for you specifically to get under center, take the snap in this rivalry game in front of the home crowd those years ago?
Yeah, it was a great experience. Obviously, like I said, there were a lot of pregame jitters leading up to that first snap, but then after that, it was just playing football. When we played, they were number one in the country, so they had a really good football team that we were going against, and we gave them hell that day. But it is as any game. Once you get in mid-second quarter, you know you're not thinking about the Palmetto Bowl. You're thinking about trying to identify what they're doing and how to exploit it. But yeah, the pregame nerves and excitement and anxiousness was unlike any other game that I had played in. So if I got a chance to speak with the guys on the team, I'd tell them that. Keep your emotions under control. Get through that first kind of initial rush of the game, and then just go out and do what you do and play football and have fun.
Yeah, good message as we talk with former Gamecock quarterback Perry Orth on Twitter, at PerryOrth10. You obviously, you know the quarterback position very well. You mentioned DJ earlier. You know, we had, throughout college football, a lot of high hopes and expectations for DJ. This year, 9 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, obviously hasn't met the standards. When you watch DJ this year, what have you seen from him? Where has maybe he gotten himself in a little trouble this year where he hasn't played as well as most people were expecting this season?
Well, yeah, I don't think he's played up to his true capabilities. And I will say, in not in defense of him, but in the reality is that his receivers haven't dropped passes they should be catching. His offensive line hasn't blocked as well. The running backs aren't, as, in my opinion, are not as talented as they have been. And so when your supporting cast is, is not where it was when you played previously, it makes things difficult on a quarterback. And yeah, he's been inaccurate, made some poor decisions, but you know the Clemson offense is not loaded with talent like they have been, and so a lot of that blame gets thrown back on the QB.
Yeah, and that certainly has been the case. For Shane Beamer, first time as a head coach in this matchup, obviously very familiar as the former assistant of the Gamecock, but a head coach tomorrow for the first time in this Palmetto Bowl going up against Dabo on the other side. For South Carolina to go to a bowl in year one, I think is a great accomplishment. What has impressed you most as, you know, we learn Shane Beamer, the head coach, throughout this year? What's impressed you most about the job he has done so far this season?
I think just keeping everybody on the same page, even when things got bad and we didn't look like we were going to make a bowl and we weren't playing that great of football, he always continued to at least push to the fans and the media that, you know, everything was under control. Everything within the program is still going great. We just got to tweak a few things and get back on the right track. And I tell you, they did that. And hats off to him for leading the program and kind of blocking out the negative energy and noise that comes with, you know, losing and not playing well, but sticking to what they do. And now that you look up and they're in a bowl game and a chance to win Saturday to go to 7-5, which would give them a chance to get to 8-5. And, you know, you look at, you know, going into the preseason, you look at the chance to potentially win eight games based off of some preseason projections, had us at three wins for the year. What an outstanding job by him and his staff to kind of start turning the ship and getting Carolina football back to where it needs to be.
When you look at some of the numbers, Beamer has been one of the more aggressive coaches in the SEC just in terms of his decisions to go for it. Dabo's been one of the more conservative coaches in the ACC. I said earlier, if I'm South Carolina, I'm an underdog in this game. I haven't beaten Clemson in a number of years. I'm already going to a bowl game this year. You're not, you know, playing for your opportunity to go to a bowl. If I'm South Carolina, I'm being aggressive tomorrow to try to force the issue against Clemson. Am I seeing it wrong? If you're South Carolina, do you even up the aggression even more tomorrow against Clemson, or do you try to kind of stay within character a little more?
No, I think, yeah, you got to throw the cart and horse at them. If there's ever a year to kind of turn this rivalry upside down on its head and get Carolina back in the win column, it's now. And so we've got to take our shots when they're there, trick plays, special team trick plays, you know, going for it on fourth down, but also taking the points when they're there because it all adds up, especially when you're playing against a great defense like Clemson has. So we've got to kind of pull out all stops. You know, this would be a great win, not only for the football team, but in recruiting in our program to say, you know, we have obviously closed the gap between Carolina and Clemson, whether they win 10 games or 9 games in the ACC, you know, we can win 7 or 8 in our conference, which is significantly better, and say, like, hey, our football programs, we're on the same page, you know. So I think we have the capabilities of doing that now, just up to the guys go out there and do it.
A couple last things for Perry Orth, former quarterback of the Gamecocks, now the head quarterback coach of QB1 Athletics. Get to him on Twitter at PerryOrth10. I always say in this industry, sometimes you have to ask dumb questions to get good answers. So this may be a dumb question, but for South Carolina, for the fans, for the program, does it make a difference for this game? You know, you're just trying to beat Clemson. It's been a few years. Does it make a difference that this isn't the same Clemson team in terms of a program going to the playoff? They don't have the typical record they do heading into this game. Does that make any difference, or it doesn't matter as long as you beat Clemson at the end of the year?
No, it doesn't matter. I mean, this is a 9-win team. Or I think they're eight wins right now. They got 8 wins and still had a pretty good season. Obviously not up to the standards which they've played the last, you know, 5 years. But for South Carolina fans, just beating Clemson and getting this rivalry back to a rivalry and not just, you know, oh, we're playing Clemson, we're going to lose. But getting the game back close and neck and neck, it's important for the state, for both teams. But because we've been on the losing side, obviously it'd be a little bit more sweet for South Carolina to pull out a win.
We'll let you get out of here on this. A prediction for tomorrow. What do you anticipate? And then with that, what do you make as the X factor? Which player or aspect of the game, and you may have already mentioned it during our conversation, but what will be the most important aspect of this game, and how do you think this game goes tomorrow?
Yeah, I like South Carolina. Give us 28-24, and Zaquandre White running back to South Carolina is the X factor. Catching balls out of the backfield and running the football. He's been phenomenal, to say the least, this year. And then the matchup, to watch the South Carolina defensive line versus Clemson's offensive line, that's going to be a huge, huge position group battle tomorrow night.
Will you be in the building? What are your plans? What do you like even just watching these type of games? Is it a stress-filled experience? What's your plans for the games tomorrow?
Very stress-filled, and we will be in Williams-Brice tomorrow cheering on the Gamecocks and hoping like hell they beat Clemson.
Yeah, well, it should be a lot of fun. Should be a fun experience for sure in that building tomorrow night. He's Perry Orth. Played in this matchup, was a former quarterback for the Gamecocks, now the head quarterback coach of Quarterback One Athletics on Twitter at PerryOrth10. Perry, appreciate all the time and the insight, and enjoy that one tomorrow night.
Thanks, brother. Take care.
You as well. Appreciate it. Perry Orth, who played the last time we had a one-possession game in this series. And, you know, it wasn't maybe quite as close as the final score would indicate, but it was a final score of one possession, and Perry had 3 touchdowns in that one, starting for South Carolina back in 2015. It's been largely one way or the other. You know, that's been the thing about this rivalry, and really a lot of these rivalries. We think of the best rivalries in college football. Ohio State-Michigan has obviously been very one-sided. Oklahoma-Oklahoma State has really been one-sided. I mean, historically, not only is Mike Gundy 2-14, but historically it's something like 90-17, something crazy. Right? Oklahoma has dominated, but it's still a big-time rivalry, and we look forward to it every year. Clemson, South Carolina, he had South Carolina win the 5 in a row. Now Clemson has won 6 in a row, and in those 11 games, he had only one possession game. Since 2007, we've only had one possession game. So the question becomes for tomorrow, not just which team do you think is going to win, but history tells us over the last 12 years that regardless of who wins, they usually win by a couple of scores. So there's always an outlier. There's always a time for a first. Maybe tomorrow we get one of those like Perry just predicted, 28-24, comes down to the final possession. But history tells us one team usually wins by multiple scores. Clemson is favored by multiple scores tomorrow. Who do you trust to win? If that's what it takes to win one of these games, that you have to win by 10 or more, who do you trust to pull that off? Roman Harper trusts the Gamecocks to win by double digits. I would trust Clemson in this spot to be the team that could win by double digits. Now, again, based off of the past years, that doesn't necessarily play a role tomorrow. But history, you know, since 2007, right, history, only one time have we even had a one-possession game, one way or the other. Usually they've been pretty decisive victories. Will that be the case again tomorrow, or will we get one of the better matchups we've had in a while? By the way, I love when you go back and you look at the history, right? 1945, these two teams played a 0-0 tie. What a game that must have been, 1945. In 1952, it was 6-0, South Carolina won. 1956, Clemson won 7-0. The point total tomorrow has gone up a little bit. I think it's now up to maybe 44. How many points do you expect in this game? For Perry, he said 28-24, so that puts us at 52 points and well over the over. I think the total, point total, opened at like 41. I would have taken the over at 41. I believe it's gone up to 44. I have a few more questions. I think it will be lower scoring. South Carolina's 101st in offense in terms of yards per play. Clemson's number 6 in defense. Points could be hard to come by for South Carolina. And then on the flip side, Clemson's offense has been much better of late, but we know, you know, historically, or I should say throughout this year, they have struggled a lot in scoring points. And if you're South Carolina, that certainly gives you a better chance. You know that they're not going to be able to run away from you. We'll continue to break down this game throughout the afternoon, and we'll catch up with LeVon Kirkland, former Clemson defensive player, former linebacker for the Tigers, coming up next hour to get the Clemson perspective and what it was like for him and the defense for this Clemson team going up against this offense. We'll do that next hour. But when we come back, speaking of those rivalries, we will rank the rivalry games for this weekend in college football in terms of the most intriguing or level of importance, because there are some big-time games coming up over the next about 36 hours, and we'll do that when we come back. It's the Mara Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
On ESPN Radio.
I've got a tiger by the tail, it's plain to see. I won't be much when you get through with me. Well, I'm a losing weight and I'm turning mighty pale. Looks like I've got a tiger by the tail. Well, I thought the day I met you, you were meek as a lamb. Just the kind to fit my dreams and plans. Now the pace we're living takes the wind from my sails.
It's the Mara Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Coming up, we put all of the rivalry games this weekend in college football in order of most intriguing and most interesting to watch here this weekend, including that Palmetto Bowl. Hence the music this afternoon, such as this one. Gamecocks will try to grab that tiger by the tail tomorrow. Buck Owens and his Buckaroos. I like that. I like that name. I've got a tiger by the tail. Does Buck Owens have any connections to the Palmetto State, or he's singing about something completely different?
I think it's something completely different.
Yeah, I would figure. That's, by the way, we've had, what, three country songs. The country music, they love their Clemson, South Carolina, or just songs about Tigers, evidently. Big in the Palmetto Bowl, which, I mean, it is, you know, I guess that would make sense. But so far, the themed music has been from the country genre for the Palmetto Bowl. That's one of a handful of very intriguing matchups coming up this weekend in college football. Let's order these rivalry games in terms of the most intrigue for this weekend. Number one, I would say Ohio State-Michigan. I think that is the number one game to watch for obvious reasons. Of course, it's one of the higher profile rivalries, but this is a playoff game. The winner of this game continues their trek to try to win the Big Ten and therefore get into the playoff. So this is already a playoff game. Whichever team loses this one tomorrow, they're done. And we know Michigan, the story around Harbaugh, right, for even before he got there, 8 straight losses for Michigan against Ohio State, which is the funny thing about these rivalries, which is what I mentioned wrapping up last segment. And appreciate the time from Perry Orth joining us last segment to break down the Gamecock side of things. If you ever miss anything from the show, such as that conversation, you can catch it on demand. Just search ESPN Radio Charleston, however you listen to your podcast. But these rivalries, the old cliche, right, it's not a rivalry unless both teams win. A lot of these rivalries have been really one-sided. And while Michigan leads all time, Ohio State has been dominant, winning 8 straight. So this is a big-time game. This is the number one game to watch this weekend when it comes to the rivals because this is already a playoff game. Now, in terms of the football itself, Ohio State played really well, of course, last week against Michigan State, blew them out, embarrassed them. As I always say, it's a week-to-week business. Michigan State has the worst pass defense in the country. So C.J. Stroud was able to go off. This week against Michigan, I think, will be a tougher test for Stroud because Michigan has the top 2 pass rushers in the conference. So they'll be able to get after the quarterback. It's going to be a little more of a difficult day for Stroud. And he's had a really good year. He's towards the top of that Heisman race. But he's still a young quarterback, still inexperienced, and can still struggle, like any quarterback, with pressure. How do you beat any good quarterback? You get pressure on them. Michigan has the ability to pressure the quarterback. So I think this will be a much tougher day for the Ohio State offense than what we saw last week against Michigan State. This is a much harder matchup. I give Michigan certainly a fighting chance, but this goes back to what we always talk about in sports, that we have to see something before we can believe it. We have to see Gonzaga prove themselves before we can trust that they're going to get something done. Same with Georgia. We have to see Georgia beat Alabama before we can actually pick them to beat Alabama. And so it's similar here. This matchup, I think it is a tougher matchup than years past, but we're a little swayed, we're a little jaded, because we've seen Michigan lose year after year after year, and it's like, oh, yeah, sure, they have a good pass defense, they could get after the quarterback, but they can't beat Ohio State. I would pick Ohio State to win this game, but this could be one of the closer matchups we've had. And don't forget, in defense of Harbaugh, they had that one game won. They did have a win against Ohio State. There was that bad spot. That changes things. Now you're not talking about an 8-game losing streak. Now you're not talking about Harbaugh never beating Ohio State. He should have had that win going back to whenever that was, 2016, 2017. So things could be a little different in how we look at this matchup. Number 2 of the rivalry games to watch this weekend, Oklahoma-Oklahoma State. Now this has been really one-sided. They've played every year since 1904, and Oklahoma leads 90-18. 90-18, right? You talk about rivalries. Again, we always say you got to win for it to be a rivalry. 90-18. That's not just recent success. That's not Clemson being better than South Carolina for the last 7 years. That's not Ohio State being better than Michigan for the last 8 years. That's all time. They've always been dominant. And there have been a lot of situations. Oklahoma State fans know it all too well when they've had some situations or they have the better team and they find a way to lose. Kind of like our concerns with Georgia when it comes to Alabama. Oklahoma State has had opportunities to win these games, and they find a way to lose them. So now, tomorrow, Oklahoma State is favored. And this is also a playoff game. Both of these teams, the winner, will go to the Big 12 championship. In fact, if Oklahoma wins, this will be a rematch in the Big 12 championship. And both of these teams are trying to win the Big 12 so they could go to the playoff as a one-loss conference champion. So this is a big-time game tomorrow. Oklahoma State has looked like the better team this year. But I fall back to that history. Mike Gundy just 2-14 against Oklahoma. And Oklahoma State has lost before when they have had the better team. Can they get this done tomorrow? It's the first time since 1984 that both teams are playing one another while ranked in the top 10. So this is, on paper, the best matchup between these two that we have had in 30 years. Should be a lot of fun. In terms of the football, Oklahoma State has a really good rush defense, top 5 in the country. This defense is really good, right? We think if both of these coaches are offensive guys, both offenses haven't been all that great this year. And Oklahoma State, they've been led by their defense. They have a top 5 rushing defense. If they could take away the run for Oklahoma, similar to what I said about C.J. Stroud, you got a young quarterback for Oklahoma. And so if the run game's not there, if you're able to pressure the quarterback, if you're able to make him force him try to make big plays in a big game, Right, that's where they could be a little vulnerable. So Oklahoma State's favored against Oklahoma. Oklahoma State has been the better team this year, but just over the history of this rivalry, they always seem to find ways to lose games that maybe they shouldn't. Number three of the most interesting rivalry games this particular weekend. Not all time, not in terms of the best rivalries, but for this weekend, for this year. Number three, I say Alabama-Auburn. Because for Alabama, well, this is like a playoff game. We focus on them beating Georgia in the SEC championship to go to the playoff, or we talk about a two-loss team. What happens if that second loss comes tomorrow? And now, does it matter whether you beat Georgia or not? Are we already excluding a two-loss team? Alabama should not lose tomorrow. They're favored by 20. Auburn has lost three in a row. They don't have their starting quarterback, but we know that's been a tough spot for Saban over the years. Alabama has lost three of their last four visits to Auburn. Gus Malzahn won in year one. Brian Harsin will try to win in year one here in the Iron Bowl. So Alabama's favored by 20. If I had to make a pick, and I'll give you my official picks in terms of point spreads later on, I don't know, maybe I do include this one. I do think Alabama comes out and drops the hammer on Auburn. Did you see the viral video from Nick Saban's coaches show this week? I don't think Alabama's very happy right now. They're not happy with how they've been playing. They're not happy with people, you know, kind of doubting them or putting them down. I think they come out in this rivalry game. Auburn is struggling lately, doesn't have their starting quarterback, and I think Alabama brings it to Auburn to try to send the message. With that said, again, Alabama struggles at Auburn, and this also is not the same Alabama team as recent years. So maybe Auburn can hang in there, but I just think Nick Saban, they're going to be fired up. They're going to go out there and really put their foot down against Auburn. Number four, I would say Ole Miss, Mississippi State, but this game happened last night, so we can't count it. It already happened. But it would be number four on my list of most interesting games this weekend. However, if you watch that game last night, you would see, like, oh, this isn't as great as we thought. That looked like both teams had their turkey dinners in the afternoon and then tried to go play a football game, at least in the first half. Picked up a little bit in the second half. And granted, there was some weather involved, but a lot of drop passes for Mississippi State, a lot of ugliness early on. And Ole Miss gets the win. Couple of quick remarks on this game for Lane Kiffin. A job well done. First ever 10-win season in Ole Miss history, and he did it with the third worst defense in the SEC. Right, that's not, the defense has been playing better the past month, and they played pretty well yesterday. It's not some elite defense. So to be able to win 10 games with one of the worst defenses in the country is really impressive for an offensive head coach like Lane. Additionally, for Mike Leach on the other side, this is what he does. He's lost 9 straight rivalry games. He's now 0-2 against Lane Kiffin there at Mississippi State. He's under 500 2 years in to Mississippi State. But 9 straight losses in rivalry games. All right, these are the biggest games of the year. You can have success elsewhere, but you got to find a way to beat your rival. Mike Leach has not. So in place of the Egg Bowl, I put South Carolina-Clemson. Those first three games I mentioned all have playoff implications. Therefore, they are the three most important games this weekend. But then of the secondary, if you will, forgive the term, for the secondary rivalry games this weekend, the ones that don't have those playoff implications, I do think South Carolina-Clemson is the most intriguing. Now, of course, in large part because it's in our backyard, we would care more about that than Oregon State. But I also think it's intriguing just because on paper, this seems to be the closest matchup we've had in some time. This seems to be the best opportunity South Carolina has to end this losing streak. And that's huge in these rivalry games. I mean, ask Harbaugh in Michigan. Perry Orth made a good point about, you know, like the recruiting aspect, what it means for the program, just to get a win, just to start try to reverse course here against the Tigers. And they have the best chance tomorrow that they've had in years. And I'm very intrigued to see which way this game goes. I have the feeling either South Carolina is going to win or Clemson's just going to blow them out. I feel like it's one or the other. There's no in between. But I'm very interested to see. South Carolina, you're feeling good about the program. They've been playing better football the last couple of weeks. How do they match up against a ranked Clemson team tomorrow that has obviously owned them in recent years? That would be number four of the games this weekend. Rounding out the rest of them, number five, I would say, is Oregon State. Because both teams enter with winning records for the first time since 2013, both teams could still get to the Pac-12 championship. Now, neither one's going to be a playoff team, but for the Pac-12, this is an important game. And I've jumped on the bandwagon of Oregon State because it's never been a great program. I like their coach there, Jonathan Smith. Oregon State has never played in a Pac-12 championship game. They could do that with a win tomorrow, potentially. So I'm pulling for Oregon State. I've jumped on that bandwagon a little bit, and this is an intriguing game tomorrow for both these teams trying to still go win the the Pac-12 and playing one another, and Oregon has won 11 of the last 13 between these two. Number six, I would say Florida, Florida State, because I'm just curious to see Florida now without Dan Mullen. Do you get some sort of rubber band effect, right, where you have like a bounce back now that your coach is gone, or do things only get worse? And for Florida State, 5-2 in their last seven games since that 0-4 start. Both teams are 5-6, so both teams will probably go to a bowl game anyways because we don't have enough six-win teams right now. But technically, there is a bowl berth on the line for both of them. Which one of these teams can win that rivalry game tomorrow? Number seven, I say NC State and UNC. Surprisingly, as we head into this game, it's NC State that has had the much better year. It's NC State that is favored by a touchdown. But I'm just curious to see, kind of like Clemson, South Carolina, NC State's had this really good year. UNC has not. But is NC State at the point where they'll go out there and beat UNC? North Carolina leads the all-time series. They've won about two-thirds. They have won both games since Mack Brown has returned. But has the tide turned in this rivalry this year? And remember, for NC State, they still have a chance to go win the ACC if they at least win this game tomorrow. Number eight of the rivalry games, I would say Washington against Washington State. What's odd about this one is neither team will be playing with their head coach, which is the main reason why I put this on the list. All right, let's see which team can function a little bit better. Which team, which program is more dysfunctional with both of them playing without their head coach tomorrow? We get to this rivalry game. It's supposed to be a big game, yet neither team has their head coach. So I put that one there at number eight. And then just some other throw-ins, if you will. Minnesota-Wisconsin would probably be next on the list. It's a big rivalry game, and Wisconsin, you know, they're trying to go win the Big Ten this year. If they win tomorrow, they punch their ticket to the Big Ten championship. And the Badgers have won 16 of the last 17. So I think this could be a little one-sided, but Minnesota trying to play spoiler and trying to get a rare victory in that rivalry. Plus, they play for, what is it, the Paul Bunyan Axe? Is that that trophy? So that's pretty good. Other games just of interest in terms of rivalries, you have Kentucky and Louisville, which you know, is more of a basketball rivalry maybe. But Kentucky's having a good year. They've won two of the last three, so we'll see what happens there. And then you have Virginia Tech, Virginia. Virginia Tech has already fired their coach. They're trying to get to bowl eligibility. Not the normal pizzazz around that game this year. And another game that, if you want to consider it, right, Texas A&M, LSU, it is Ed Orgeron's final game with LSU. And on the other side, you have Jimbo Fisher, who LSU would love to hire. Is this some sort of audition? Will we get some sort of tampering going on in Ed O's final regular season game here at LSU? And maybe in the process, you could try to recruit Jimbo Fisher from the other side. Those are the rivalry games this weekend and how I would order them in terms of the ones I'm most looking forward to. Top three are obvious. They have playoff implications. Ohio State and Michigan, Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, Alabama and Auburn. And then from there, when you get to that next group of games, I, of course, put Clemson and South Carolina at the top of those. As a neutral observer, I'm not a fan of either. Right? I'm more interested and excited in those other three games because they mean more for college football this year. But then the rest of the rivalry games, yeah, South Carolina, Clemson's number one. I'm more interested in watching that than Florida, Florida State, NC State, UNC, Oregon, Oregon State, all of the other games to see if South Carolina can snap this losing streak tomorrow against Clemson. Coming up, we will check in with another correspondent here on Black Friday to let us know what's going on out there on this Black Friday as you go out there and try to get your early Christmas gifts on the discounts. And also, while I just ranked the best rivalry matchups of the weekend, I'll give you the most interesting games overall of the football weekend with the NFL as well. It's the Mara Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers, lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
Yeah, we used to be lost and downhearted, scared and beaten before we even got started. It took some time to change.
dancing hallelujah. I do believe it's happening. We're almost to the top of the mountain. Yes, so brothers and sisters, lift your voices, clap your hands. 'Cause we ain't far from the promised land.
Coming up, the most interesting games of the football weekend here on the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. In these parts, obviously, the Palmetto Bowl, South Carolina and Clemson. Hence the songs throughout the afternoon like this one, We Ain't Far. South Carolina fans may be feeling that way of late with what you've seen with year one of Shane Beamer. Another Patrick Davis song, but with Darius Rucker and Edwin McCain. Now, Edwin McCain is from Charleston and attended.
No, he is from Greenville, but attended the College of Charleston.
Oh, okay. They have it wrong online then. But, yeah, he went to College of Charleston and Coastal Carolina, it says. Sounds familiar?
Yeah, it does, actually.
And Darius Rucker, of course, the most, I would say the most notable, the one you hear the most about as a Gamecock fan, and then Patrick Davis you have there as well. So look at that, all these Gamecocks getting together for that one as we get ready for the game tomorrow. Checking in on the text line, you can always get in touch with the show. You can get to us on Twitter, at Morrow Middays. You can head on over to charlestonsportsradio.com, click on our show page, leave a comment for the show there. You can always give us a call, 843-721-9500 to join the conversation. Or you can text the show, 843-608-1734. On the text line, somebody asked if Spencer Rattler would transfer to the SEC, the Oklahoma quarterback. Well, you know what? He could stay at Oklahoma and just join the SEC, which, by the way, I gave you my rundown of the most interesting rivalry matchups for this particular weekend in college football. And I said Oklahoma State, Oklahoma's number two. I also failed to mention in the process that I don't know how many more of these games we're going to get. Mike Gundy said the same this week, that once Oklahoma goes to the SEC, he's not sure if they are going to play one another. And we don't know when exactly they're going to go to the SEC. I mean, it's supposed to be 2025. I wouldn't be surprised if it was next year, maybe 2 years from now. Certainly before that, before, you know, 2025. So who knows how many more of these games we'll have, which makes this one even more important. Right? Sometimes you don't know what you got till it's gone. Well, in this case, you know, if you're an Oklahoma State, Oklahoma fan, or you like that rivalry, appreciate what you have while it's here, because these two may not play one another once Oklahoma goes to the SEC.
Such as the case is when Nebraska left for the Big Ten. Now Oklahoma and Nebraska don't play each other very often anymore.
Yes, it's true. And I know Oklahoma State is not happy with how this whole thing's gone down, so it could be a little bit of, you know, out of spite as well. Texas A&M haven't played one another in a decade since A&M left, so appreciate that one while you got it. In terms of Spencer Rattler, him transferring, it also depends on Lincoln Riley, right? Because Lincoln Riley, is he going to stay at Oklahoma? We hear these rumors about him going to LSU. I think he stays put. But if he leaves, well, then it depends on the next coach. Maybe you could stay where you are. You know, if you feel like you need to leave that program to have a better shot somewhere else, you need to get away from that head coach, you've fallen out of favor, whatever it may be. If Lincoln Riley goes to another job, Caleb Williams will probably transfer there and go with him. And now you're back as the top dog, and it depends on who the new coach comes in, who that may be. Also asked on the text line, do you think Dan Mullen will be a good candidate for Seattle if Pete Carroll is let go at the end of the year? I think Mullen is more of an NFL coach where he doesn't have to worry about recruiting. He's a good offensive mind. To jump to an NFL head coach, I mean, look, you could point to Cliff Kingsbury, a guy who bottomed out in college, was hired in the NFL, and is doing a really good job. I don't know if people would get excited in the NFL, like Seahawks fans would be excited about hiring Mullen, who's never coached in the NFL, coming off the year he just had at Florida. But I do think he's more of an NFL. That's always been the thought process, that he's, you know, more of an NFL guy. Maybe he'd have to start off as an offensive coordinator. But with Russell Wilson, if he stays around, you move on from Pete Carroll, you got to bring in an offensive guy. You usually go opposite. Pete Carroll's a defensive coach. Right, Mullen's an offensive coach, but also we know that's what Russell Wilson wants. And Dan Mullen knows offense, so it could be intriguing. That may not be a bad pair. You have no idea how well he would work as a head coach in the NFL since we've never seen it before. And do you want to take that sort of risk with Russell Wilson, who's already unhappy, who right now kind of maybe feels like you're just treading water. You haven't won enough with him here in the second half of his career so far. But I think Mullen could be intriguing, at least as a play caller in the NFL. How well would he work as a head coach? I don't know. But like in Jacksonville, you want to make a change, right? Him and Urban Meyer, obviously very close. He's been his OC before. Bring him to Jacksonville. Help out Trevor Lawrence over there. Get rid of Daryl Bevel and Schottenheimer if you wish. That could be a good spot for him in the NFL as well. All right, it is Black Friday, right? We get ready for these games this weekend. I gave you the most interesting rivalry games. How could I fail to mention the one going on right now? Central Michigan and Eastern Michigan playing right now. That's a big one. And by the way, it's a 10-3 lead for Central Michigan at the half. But today is also Black Friday. People are running around out there getting all sorts of discounted things, maybe for Christmas, for the house, whatever you need. You take advantage of these great deals. It's crazy. Fights break out. You lose friends over it. People giving birth in stores. Who knows what's going on? We have found some Black Friday correspondents to check in with throughout the afternoon to see how things are going in the local stores here throughout the Lowcountry. We caught up with one last hour. We'll catch up with one next hour as well. Let's check in, though, now with our Black Friday correspondent to get the latest on how things are going out there on the store at the stores in what is the busiest shopping day of the year.
On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me.
Target. Just moments ago, a fight broke out over a bike. Two grown men fighting over the last bicycle. Some fists were thrown. There was some blood. I almost fainted. And eventually, one guy got a hold of the bike, managed to get away from the crowd. He ended up riding the bike right out of the store without even paying for it. It's the best deal we've seen here so far today. Now, he was bleeding, but it was worth it. Oh, also, there's been a run on the board game Parcheesi today. For only $17.98. Today only. You better get down here. Okay, back to you, Oprah. Huh? ESPN. Who's that?
All right. There's our latest update on Black Friday. Parcheesi, the big hit today over there. And no, I wish I was on the same level as an Oprah. But we bring you the hard-hitting reporting on Black Friday here throughout the Lowcountry. I gave you my rankings of the college football rivalries for the weekend. Usually on Fridays, I give you my five most interesting games of the weekend. I feel like it'd be a little redundant to choose or to include college football after I kind of just gave you the rundown for college football. In case you missed it, Ohio State, Michigan, Oklahoma State, and Oklahoma and Alabama-Auburn are the top three matchups of the weekend. I would then put Clemson-South Carolina number four. And if I was doing this prior to yesterday, Ole Miss-Mississippi State would be in that top five as well. So I figure for this tasty top five, because it is such a great slate in the NFL, since we've already done college, let me give you the five most interesting games of the NFL Sunday here this weekend.
This is a tasty burger.
It's the tasty top five.
Tasty.
Number five.
Sunday Night Football, Browns-Ravens. Now, on paper, it's a big game in that division. But these two teams, there are certain teams in the league that just don't excite you because of their style or their offense or whatever it may be. And the AFC North is kind of like that with all of those teams. You know, it's still kind of a defensive division. Two teams that like to run the football. They're not the most exciting. Then you factor in the fact that Lamar Jackson may not play. Baker Mayfield's clearly not 100%. He's been lousy lately. So this matchup, to me, isn't that appealing on paper. It may not be one of the most fun games to watch this weekend, but it's a big game for that division. The Browns right now are in last place. But they're only a game and a half behind the Ravens. So things can still change very quickly in the North. You have to win games like this in that division, especially if Lamar Jackson doesn't play. If you're Cleveland, you got to win. And Baker Mayfield has to play better. It's number five on the list because of the importance in the standings. Number four is Colts-Buccaneers. This is a really fascinating game to me. The Colts are playing better football lately. This is going to be their toughest test yet. Now, it helps that they're at home, and they get Brady coming to them, and the Buccaneers haven't been as good on the road this year, but this is indoors. So you have an aging quarterback, right, Tom Brady, but at least you get to go inside, play on the turf, and inside the dome there in Indianapolis. The big matchup, and I mentioned this in our rundown earlier through all the games this weekend, but the Bucs are the number one rush defense. They have been vulnerable in the back end. And the Colts have, to me, the best running back right now, performance-wise, in the league this year in Jonathan Taylor. So can the Buccaneers stop that run game? And if they do, can Carson Wentz then make enough plays for the Colts to win this game? But you have the Colts who are over 500 playing good football, feeling good in the AFC. You have the Buccaneers who haven't been playing as well the last couple of weeks, but I think are still the favorite in the NFC. So you have two teams in the playoff picture right now dueling on Sunday. Should be a lot of fun. Number three is Tom Brady's former team, the Patriots against the Titans. Similar reasons. Two teams in the playoff picture in the AFC. But it's also an interesting matchup because the Titans right now don't have much of a run game. And without a run game, they don't have a whole lot offensively. You try to put the offense on the shoulders of Ryan Tannehill, but now his wide receivers are banged up. They're not available, and Tannehill hasn't been great. It's why Derrick Henry is so important to that offense. He had four interceptions on Sunday. He has just one more touchdown than interception this year. And now he goes on the road against Belichick and the Patriots and a defense that leads the league in interceptions, has won five in a row, and the Patriots have scored 70 unanswered points against their opponents. Can the Titans get right? Can New England continue this hot streak? It's a very interesting game between two playoff hopefuls in the AFC. Number two is Vikings 49ers because both are 5-5 competing for a wild card spot in the NFC. Both have won two straight after slow starts. They're very similar teams, similar styles, similar paths this year. This is a huge game for the wild card race. A lot of teams are huddled up together for those wild cards in the NFC. The winner of this game will have the tiebreaker and will pass the other by. It's a big time game. The Vikings have struggled against San Francisco on the road in recent years. And then number one is Rams-Packers. On paper, this is the best matchup of the weekend. Both teams have three losses this year as they compete for the number one spot in the NFC. They're separated by half a game. You have Rodgers with this whole toe fiasco. You have the Rams with their struggling offense. They have to go to Lambeau. Two of the better teams in the NFC playing at Lambeau at the end of November. The game sells itself. Should be a lot of fun. Good offenses, and we'll see what happens on Sunday. Both teams not playing their best football of late. Which one's going to bounce back in a big game for the top of the NFC? We'll see. And those are the five best games of the NFL weekend. Obviously, this football weekend is all about the rivalries, and there's plenty of those in college football. But in the NFL, a really good slate. The last few weeks haven't looked so good on paper for the NFL. This week looks really good on paper. By the way, Louisiana Tech just announced that they have fired Skip Holtz, former Gamecock coach. And it looks like Wofford is making a lot of changes. I believe they're going to keep Josh Conklin, the head coach. The reports initially, people I had talked to throughout the football season thought Conklin was a goner. Looks like he's going to stay on as the head coach. But his entire staff is really going to have to change there at Wofford. So it's Black Friday, but it also, it gets that time of year where they call it Black Monday in the NFL, where a lot of coaches start to lose their jobs at the end of the season, especially once the season ends in the NFL. We've had a lot of coaching changes already in college football, and a few more being announced today.
Okay, Skip Holtz was a former assistant coach at South Carolina.
Yeah, former
His dad,
coach.
Lou, was the head coach. So we can avoid some confusion.
Well, yeah, he was a former coach for the Gamecocks.
But a lot of people thought he was going to be follow his dad as the head coach.
That was the idea. That coach in waiting never works out, and it didn't there. Hour 3 coming up next. It's the Mara Midday Show on ESPN Radio.